I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, we are headed up to San Francisco to Promax Games, where an insightful panel of women discuss the changing role of women in the gaming industry, a place where women have not always been fully welcomed. This includes the rise of female fans, creators, and influencers, all of whom are enormously important in and to the gaming community. This panel includes Kelly Miller, director of marketing at 2K, Stacey King, senior product manager, Xbox Games Marketing, and Erica Larson, head of industry gaming at Google. It's moderated by Tina Amini, editor-in-chief, IGN Gaming. Let's tune in and hear what they've got to say.
So this is a panel about women in gaming, but more importantly, it's a panel of women in gaming and very successful women at that. And I think it would be really interesting and to the benefit of everyone in the room if you guys wouldn't mind giving a sort of cursory overview of your career and how you got to the positions that you're in today.
Oh, all right. So my name is Kelly Miller, and I am director of marketing at 2K. I've been at 2K for about 9 years, actually, I think over 9 years. I'm older than that, so I've been in the industry a little bit longer. I've been on a couple different sides of it. So I started, for those of you who remember, at Eidos Interactive. And worked on Tomb Raider as one of the first franchises that I worked on, which is a very fortunate franchise to work on. And then I actually moved to IGN, so I've been on that side of it as well, and then had my own company for a while, and then decided that health benefits were a really nice perk of working for a company. So then I came back to the publisher side and have been at 2K for a while.
Hi, I'm Erica Larson. So I head up the games group at Google. And summary of my career, if I had to sum it up, I'd probably would say right place, right time. And what I mean by that is I grew up a gamer. I was kind of a tomboy at heart. I would always be playing sports or video games. I remember when I got the NES in 1985. Yes, I was old enough to play it then. And I would run home from school and go down the basement and play it. And in 99, I moved out to California from Kansas. Looking for a teaching job, an art teaching job. And at the time, I fell into tech, didn't know anything about tech. But when I married my passion of gaming and at the time tech and art, I fell into ZDNet at the time, which owned GameSpot. So I worked for GameSpot for 7 years. And then I took a leap of faith and went to a gaming startup, Xfire. I remember when we hit 5 million uniques, I thought that was like really, really big. And then moved over to YouTube in 2007.
Awesome. I'm Stacey King. I am a senior product manager at Xbox. I am currently responsible for leading second party games marketing at Xbox. And I've been there for so long now, it'll be 17 years this year. I don't remember what I did before I came to Xbox. I started doing channel marketing. I had no idea what channel marketing was, by the way, when I started. I had a great hiring manager who was rapidly scaling up a team to meet the demands of a business that we had just launched with our first console in 2001. And we were kind of hiring anyone that was breathing at that point in time. And so we had an interview and he said, I think I'd love you to do channel marketing with one of our strategic partners, Walmart. I said, great, I had no idea what that means, but it all sounds great to me. I spent a few years doing retail marketing and then I moved over and did partnership marketing for a while, doing some strategic relationships with some music partners for Xbox. And then about 7 years ago, I moved over and started doing product marketing. And that is where I really kind of found my voice and found my passion. I love it. I'm not sure where I go from here, but I'm currently very much loving the position that I'm in, having a voice into development and the partners that we work with strategically on the second party side.
So you're all obviously industry veterans. You've been in the industry for 10, 20 years, and a lot has changed. The developer community is still very new, relatively speaking, but a lot has changed in that time, and it's really evolved. And I'm curious what you feel like has been the biggest impact or most significant change in the last 10 to 20 years that you've been working in the industry.
Who wants to take that one?
I know.
Everything.
I mean, yeah. Well, I was thinking about that question, I was thinking back to some of the first marketing campaigns we ran, and they were print and TV ads. So there was no digital marketing, so that's a huge change. And I think, you know, we've sort of grown up with the industry. So, you know, when I started in my mid-20s, everybody who worked at every company was in their mid-20s. So, I mean, I think just the maturity of the industry is a big change too. So, and the experience that different people have brought into the industry over that time, it's much more sophisticated and robust now.
Although still a very young industry too.
Yeah, relatively still very young, but.
Right. So one thing comes to mind, Kelly, when you worked at Eidos and you worked on Tomb Raider. So I remember seeing this visual of Lara Croft kind of throughout the, 20 years of the game has been going on. And it was very, you know, just sex symbol, like, we're just going to put her in the game just because guys like to look at her. And now it's like she's this total badass. And I think that for me is so important. You know, I have two kids. I have a daughter and a son. And I think for my daughter, even though she's only two, for her to see these, you know, kind of badass female characters. And also at E3, do you remember the days of booth babes? I'm sure some of you in the audience are like, yeah, I wish those were still there, or those girls were still there. But instead, it's focused on the content, right? Instead of these distractions. And I would also say at Google, for our second year, we're working with this company to help promote tweens and teens to develop their own games through Google Play, through Game Changers. And it's really important. They can actually win scholarships too. So it's like wanting to encourage females to get into whether it's tech or design or, you know, in my case, sales. But
I think one thing for me, particularly after seeing the Nadeshot conversation earlier, which was just so interesting to me, is the influencers who are influencing the consumers who are buying the games today. You know, back when I started, you know, the influencers were at Circuit City and Blockbuster, which no longer exist. And now they are people like Nadeshot and content creators. And it's changed the marketing mix. Who we engage with to sell our products. And they've had such a huge outsized influence, I hate to use that word, like he does, on the industry in the last couple of years. And I think we're all kind of trying to figure out as marketers how we best work with these people and how we allocate part of our budget towards influencer marketing. You know, it's kind of shaken everything up in the last couple of years in a way that's been really, I think, represented a really foundational change. And we're still kind of working through that. You know, do I throw all of my media dollars at content creators, or am I doing, you know, traditional media? So that, I think that to me, like particularly after hearing him today, it was like, just reminds me of how much that space has changed, particularly in the last few years.
And are you looking for like female creators in particular to rise up?
Yeah. Yes. And I think they are. And I'd love to hear him talk about how he is certainly encouraging that and curating that as part of 100 Thieves.
Yeah, I mean, the community impact is hard to ignore. I mean, we've had a lot of, as gamers, we've had a lot more interests that have evolved than when they used to be 10 years ago, and the community itself has evolved, and so the expectation for that kind of content evolution has come along with the media evolution too, the E3 evolutions. It seems to be the running theme. Community has made an impact, essentially.
Yeah, I think the other area with influencers also that we see is that it's more than just that they're playing games. It's a whole lifestyle.
Correct.
So, like, cosplayers are a huge part of, you know, our influencer marketing also. And also an area where it seems like there's an easy sort of on-road for women to participate, you know, because there's a lot of community meetups and things that are going on, you know, just outside of just playing the games, you know, with the lifestyle aspect of it that is another on-road for women, but also a way to engage with that community.
Yeah.
So sort of a trickier but relevant question along this line of thinking is, obviously the gaming community is a very particular one, and that's not always the most pleasant or polite. And I'm curious, in your line of works, how you feel that community change and that impact, like, does it change the way that you're thinking about the content that you're making, or how you're outsourcing it, or how you're speaking to that kind of group? Like, are these things that you take into consideration? Are they things that you ignore? Are they just top-level things to talk about and discuss how we can make changes towards that? How does it impact you, if at all?
You were talking about the hiring aspect.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I think we think about when we're recruiting, is, you know, making sure that we have more diversity in the candidates that we're looking at. And I was mentioning this article that I just saw that was about the language that you use in job descriptions can also influence who applies for those. So, you know, this article in particular was about growth mindset words like, you know, learning and expanding and, you know, things like that got more female candidates than ones that were more achievement oriented, which I thought was sort of interesting. But I think, you know, the HR teams can have a big impact on how women are brought into the industry. Also, that's more on the staffing side than the content of the games itself, though.
I think it's also just thinking about diversity in general, not just females, but I have an awesome colleague who actually just started in gaming, and you know, I think I'm making sure to give her opportunities that I had as well. And so I think sometimes, I don't know if we're gonna get to this later, but sometimes we're our own worst critic, and we need to lift each other up as females. So I'm constantly looking for areas where I can lift her up. I was also going to say I'm proud to work for a company where we have a CEO of YouTube, and gaming's the second most viewed content on our site. So the fact that, you know, yes, YouTube is a lot of things, but it is a lot of gaming, and the head of Google Play Games is female. And so I'm also thinking about how am I building my bench of rising female stars as well.
Which is great because it gives you a platform to help impact the kind of changes that are happening on an industry, fundamental, organizational level. And I'm curious because I imagine, you know, if your career trajectories are anything like mine, I'm sure there were certain struggles when you were at like, earlier stages of your careers. And I'm curious what obstacles you face at an executive level, because I imagine it doesn't stop.
Yeah, I think for me, I was talking to the group about this a bit earlier today, is, you know, having been in the industry for so long, I certainly use data to guide a lot of the decisions that I make, but not always. With so much experience and so many years in the industry now, I'm kind of guided by my gut instinct many times, but yet I now work with, you know, about half of our business is really experienced people that have been in the industry for a long time, and then the other half are these up-and-coming, aggressive MBAs, and, you know, they've got lots of crazy ideas and big spreadsheets and lots of data, and, they come armed to a discussion or a meeting with all these great ideas and suggestions and recommendations guided by data, when I'm often driven by kind of my instinct and what I know will work and what historically has worked or hasn't worked. And so I run into a bit of recently, this has been, you know, something I've been grasping with is a bit of imposter syndrome. Like, am I being kind of outgunned and outrun by these data heads? Or am I right to trust my instinct and kind of my experience and what tells me what will work and what won't work? So I've been dealing with that more recently, and I think that it's more of a psychological thing to get over. And then how do you kind of work with people that are up and coming and don't have that experience, and how do you kind of work together to get the best of both worlds, like access to their big head full of data and all of their great ideas, and understanding and, you know, what we, you know, someone like me who know, kind of knows what works and what doesn't. And how we best work together and kind of mentor each other. So I'm both mentoring, but I'm also learning and finding that right balance so that we're both learning from each other.
I think just to add to that, you know, the further I get in my career, just the stigma that's attached with being a working mom. And one thing I've learned throughout the years is just being very clear with my boss, and I've had many, in terms of the importance of work-life balance, and I will get my shit done. But I also sometimes need to go to soccer practice because I want to be there, because you can't get those times back. This is actually the week of my son's spring break, and we had a 2-day spring break, so I can be here, but that's okay. But I think, you know, it's what we put on ourselves and just that negative stigma, like, oh, well, she has kids, so maybe she can't, you know, give it all and all of that. But 9 times out of 10, the bosses I've had, like, if I'm upfront with them on what I can and cannot do, they're totally cool with that, right?
And often the struggle is even having the courage, because it can be a difficult conversation to have, to stand up and say, this is what I need to be successful here and to maintain that balance, essentially.
And to show your team, too. Like, hey, guys, if you have kids. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, lead by example.
A lot of the discussions I've had about being a working parent, probably because I work with a lot of guys, are the guys like coming to that realization, like, I want to be involved with my kids too. So I feel like everyone wins when you have that conversation, you know, about work-life balance and, you know, and making it work and how do you, you know, juggle these, you know, different competing priorities. Yeah, so if you can talk to your workplace about them, you know, whether it's male or female counterparts, I think everybody benefits from that.
Yeah. And Stacey, you mentioned two things that are such big subject matters, and I feel like we could talk about this for hours, but you mentioned mentorship and you mentioned imposter syndrome, and I think probably everyone in this room could have some kind of empathy towards that because imposter syndrome is just so prevalent, especially in creative fields. And one way that at least I've found a way to kind of overcome that is through mentorship, through just the acknowledgement that I'm not alone in that feeling. And I'm curious what your guys' experiences have been, either being as a mentor or having mentors in your careers that have kind of helped lift you up and overcome certain aspects like imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I'm actually mentoring someone now who's moving from a business development role and into a producer role. On the second party business. And she doesn't have any development experience. We're, you know, we see her as kind of a rising star. So the team is taking a bit of a risk on her. It's something that she's expressed she really wanted to do. And, you know, she really wants to get closer to development of games. And so, you know, and that has like been a passion of mine for the last few years as I've gotten closer to the product. And so I'm kind of mentoring her. And helping her understand, you know, the right ways to have a seat at the table and a voice in the process, and do it in a way where her voice can be heard and respected. But also, you know, just kind of coaching her and giving her feedback on communication style. And that's been, you know, it's the first time I've really had a mentorship role in all of the years I've been at Xbox. And so it's been really interesting to kind of turn the tables and help somebody kind of learn the business from ground up, just, you know, coming at it from a completely different angle. It's been really gratifying.
Passing on your experiences.
Passing on my experience.
Which are very worthwhile, by the way. It's not just the data.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she's younger, and she, you know, she has this a passion about diversity and diversity representation in games that I share. And, you know, the feedback I've given her is, you know, to see the game you want to play, you need to have to get closer to the development of that product is super important. So you're absolutely making the right decision. And now we just have to coach you on, you know, the best way to get you to the point where you can have a voice at the table with a developer. Because they're very touchy about this is their art, this is their creative process. And to be able to give feedback, it takes some coaching and mentorship to learn how to be able to give that feedback and have it heard and respected. So it's awesome to have that opportunity.
And I think mentorship, I mean, it can be tricky because it has to have the right authentic fit. So, you know, at our company, we've tried to shoehorn in like mentor mentees, and I had, maybe it was my fault, but I had a mentee and we just didn't gel at all because she was in auto and she didn't care about gaming. And I mean, I tried, like, it just didn't work, versus a mentor, many of you probably know her, Susie Ryder, because she worked at GameSpot for years. She is just someone who has been there with me thick and thin, so I was lucky in that regard. But if I can make a shameless plug for the ProMax mentorship program, it's great because everyone I've talked to that's been in that program has seen a lot of just success in both a career, from a career standpoint. So definitely ask someone from ProMax for more information.
So I'll give a shout out to that also because I participated in it. and yeah, so I did that last year and mentored someone and also found it really rewarding because that imposter syndrome piece of it, like you know, when you mentor someone, you do sort of realize how much experience you have and how much, you know, sort of knowledge and expertise from, you know, from your career that you can pass on is a really nice feeling. And then, you know, looking for mentors of my own, I think I've sort of looked for people who have experience or expertise in certain areas rather than like, this is my mentor. You know, and I think a lot of it's just about reaching out to different people who you admire or who have a skill set that you want to improve on, or even just a different part of the company. I had New Year's resolution a couple years ago that I was going to take a different person out to lunch from a different department that I don't normally work with. And, you know, and it
was... What are you doing on that?
Well, I made it about 6 months. but it, you know, some of them were in the company and some of them were outside of the company. And, you know, and I know, I've been there for 9 years, so I know a lot of the people and I know my team and the people I work with really well. But yeah, it was like, you know, just sitting down with somebody from legal for an hour, like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I never thought about that, you know, aspect of it. So it's helped me just within relationships within the company. You know, so I think whether it's a mentorship or not, just, you know, I think for me, like, building relationships is just such an important part of career growth and also helping other people rise up in the company.
Yeah. And Erica, to your point earlier too, it's really a matter of finding that mentor that you gel with, that you have a certain rapport with, and that's leveraging certain experiences that you might not necessarily have. So it's about finding that right fit for you, essentially. And sort of on that note, you know, I've given a similar panel like this in the past, and the audience was more so, you know, young aspirational women. But considering we have a little bit more of a mixed group here, I thought it would be interesting to also go into the conversation of how your male counterparts or colleagues have contributed to any kind of, support in your experiences, or how maybe they could give that positive impact to, you know, the companies that they work at in the room.
So it's interesting because this just came up last week. So I'm sure like many of you at Google, we have a lot of female aliases. So, you know, women in gaming or, you know, what have you. And one of them I belong to is called Breadwinning because I'm the breadwinner in my family. And this exact thing came up where we should be tapping into our male colleagues. In fact, I mean, how many of you are like, oh, I should really update my LinkedIn profile or my resume, I want to, you know, maybe look for another job. And the suggestion that came up was to find a male colleague, more senior than you, that you trust and someone who knows your work pretty well and is also a good self-promoter, because a lot of times females were not good self-promoters and we should be, and have him write your bio and like what your work is like. And I have not done this yet, but some people chimed in on the thread that they were astounded, like, wow, actually, yeah, you're right, I do that, you know? So, I don't know, just maybe a takeaway to look for, you know, a senior male colleague and just ask him to write a bio for you.
Mm-hmm. Huh? A little more confidence.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about that one.
Well, I guess it's also a lot of, it's a lot of matter of, more so listening than necessarily all the time giving sort of input, because there are a lot of experiences, and it's why we put on panels like this. There are a lot of experiences that are unique to women in the industry, that, you know, obstacles that we faced that you guys spoke to earlier that aren't necessarily like right at the top of you know, a man's head because they haven't experienced it personally themselves.
Well, I think also, unfortunately, we still work in, I mean, in tech and gaming, it's still very male dominated. So I think if you can, you know, managing up is okay, in my opinion, is okay as long as you do it in an authentic way. So I think if you can find, you know, somebody that, you know, look for that value exchange, that maybe there's someone more senior in your company and you can, you know, teach them something. What you mentioned about, dare I say, some millennials that you're working with, right? So like how can you make each other, you know, rise up?
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, I'm curious too, because to get off of the, you know, negative commentary and back to the positive of the fact that we are growing rapidly as an industry and as evidenced by the three of you and your successes here. I'm curious if you have any stories or anecdotes, like moments in the industry that you've seen personally that you felt like were a good sign for the future, that meant that the future was brighter.
I think the conversation we're having now around diversity is a really important one. It's certainly a dialogue that we're having at Xbox. It's pretty important, both from a professional just standpoint as well as representation we want to see in games. You know, one of the things I've really enjoyed and the feedback I'm giving to the person I'm mentoring is getting closer to development of products and being able to sit down with developers and seeing games that are far out from shipping and being able to give feedback about representation and how they think about representation. And certainly it needs to fit within the creative construct of the vision for that product. You can't just put a woman in a game because to put a woman in a game. Like, she needs to belong there. She needs to be a key character, part of the narrative. And that goes to ethnic, certainly ethnic diversity as well. I think this is a broad conversation that's happening across the industry that's really exciting. And I think it's going to lead to more games in the future representing the players that are playing them. Whereas traditionally, they've been largely dominated by, you know, white Caucasian males. I think we're going to see a broader representation that represents the world as a whole in the next 5 to 10 years, which is really exciting. And also, you know, it's really exciting to be a part of the dialogue that's ongoing at our, all of our respective companies around diversity, and particularly women, and you know, the topics of harassment and bullying and things that we've had to, you know, kind of deal with silently on the sidelines for many years. I think that's all coming to the surface now, and companies are being forced to deal with it in a more forthright manner. And I think we're going to see workplaces that also represent the world, the worlds that we want to live in beyond games, the workplaces we want to come to work and be represented in every day, which is also very exciting.
Yeah, I think for me, a real aha and something that was really fun, last December, I volunteered for Game Chicas. So it's Latinas who think they want to get into the gaming industry. And I don't know if you all know about Seven Teepees. It's in the Mission, and it's an organization where male and females can come after school, and you know, they may not have a great place to go home to, so they go there and learn about tech and everything. And EA was actually, I met some great you know, tech females from EA because they were the main sponsor for it. And there were some women from Google who were in tech, and you know, I'm just in sales, but it was interesting that talking to these you know, very eager Latinas, and when I asked them, you know, what do you know what you want to be when they grow up? It was everything from a doctor, a lawyer, or a game designer. And I was like, all right, that's awesome, you know? So it was just fun to talk to them about, you know, what Google does within, you know, gaming, and really hear from them. And to the point, the woman earlier that was talking about kind of future generations, and you know, I really do feel that the, you know, next generation is going to make this world a better place. And so I would encourage all of you to look for ways that, whether you're male or female, to look for ways to work with up and coming, especially females, and all the better, I feel like, if you're a male, right? And show
or non-binary,
right? Yeah.
Throw that
Thank
out
you.
There.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that was a fun experience.
Yeah, and I mean, I have nothing to do with the development of this product at all, but I do work on the marketing of it. So Borderlands 3, woo! but to your point about diversity in games, I do think that that is an example of a game that has strong female characters. But it also, I know Gearbox really, you know, really works hard.
Quite a while.
Yeah, works hard for a long time to develop their games. But diversity is very important to them, and representing a diverse set of characters in the game is important to them. And we really also see it in when we do studies on who our audience is, that we have a lot of females who play that game. So I also think expanding representation in games themselves also expands the audience who we can market to. So, you know, so I agree with you. I think that's a really important thing for developers and marketers to think about.
So as we're running out of time, I wanted to end on a bit of a more actionable note and ask you guys, what's one piece of advice that you want to give the room that everyone here can take away from and push forward towards an even brighter future than we're already headed?
Have a point of view and know how to articulate it. I certainly think where my mentorship has come from, I have a lot of male allies. I've worked, most of my managers have been male at Microsoft. And so I've kind of learned to be, I'm already kind of a type A red, if you know what that means, personality, but I've certainly been coached in how to get my point across without, you know, and tempering my aggression. And so I think having a point of view, knowing how to express it and be heard. And I think if it's important to you, if you're a games marketer and want to get into games marketing and want to have more of a voice in the development of the product, getting closer to development of the product in product marketing is something I would recommend. If you want to see a game that looks like you or you care about diversity, getting closer to development is where you want to be.
Get involved, be outspoken.
Yeah.
Plus one that.
Yes.
And just, you know, this probably goes without saying, but know your shit. I mean, like, read up, watch up. And I say watch up because, you know, YouTube. On the industry, you know, subscribe to female, you know, rising female channels. Watch IGN. Gonna give a prop to you guys. And just be bold and don't apologize, you know? I mean, like, you earn that seat at the table, so own it. And the mentorship, you know, volunteering. I already mentioned that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you actually mentioned it earlier. Don't be afraid to, like, do something that you don't know how to do. You know, because I definitely think that I've had that attitude a lot also of just, like, you know, hey, can you do this? Yeah, I can do that. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but, you know, I'll figure it out and I'll ask questions. So that's where I think the relationships and the, you know, reaching out to people to, you know, to both develop relationships, but also to get advice on how to do things. The combination of those two things is, you know, don't be afraid to reach and learn something new, no matter where you are in your career. And also don't be afraid to reach out to advisors to help you figure out how to do that.
Looking ahead and knowing where you want to go, like, where's the destination? And then how am I going to get there? And enrolling the mentors and people that can be your allies to help you get there. Every job I've had at Xbox, I didn't know how to do before I did it. But I knew I wanted to do it, and I saw other people doing it, and I was really interested in it. So I kind of built a roadmap, and I identified the people that could help me get there, except for the channel marketing job. I had to kind of figure that one out on my own. But every other role that I've had, I didn't know how to do at the time that I was interested in going for that position, and I enrolled a set of people that could help me both learn the questions I needed to ask and how I needed to position myself in interviews, and then continued to coach me as I grew into those roles.
Yeah,
and I think
don't get too comfortable.
Well, and along those same lines, you know, don't be afraid to take a chance on someone who doesn't have the experience
that
exactly lines up with what your job is.
Every job, most jobs can be learned if you have the right passion and wherewithal to do it.
Well, thank you guys so much for participating.
Yeah.
And for sharing your experiences. I hope it was enlightening.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provided the music. Digital content producers Kate LaCaire-Marion and Kayla Marie Hardaway contribute to Daily Brief. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Promax_global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And please subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.